Amen. Will you be looking at the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 42? Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. Glad that you are here this morning for our Make War series. I pray that God will move on your hearts. We have been fighting. Anybody have been fighting? Hopefully you've been fighting for your, not against each other, but for each other. I want to get a shirt that says, I am fighting for you. And so, you know, instead of against you, against the house of the Lord, or against your marriage, or against your kids, that you are fighting for what God wants. And so I thought that would be a great shirt if somebody wants to design it. Usually I don't tell jokes because I'm not that funny, but there are some funny things whenever today's sermon is called Fight for the Church. And so some of the things that people will fight for within a church. So I looked this up. You can just Google search it. And it says there was an argument over the appropriate length of the pastor's beard, how long the beard was. And people, like, see, we have a couple beard pictures. So approximately, I don't know, a half an inch beard, no more. And so anyway, there was a church that really fought about this, that fought about how much the pastor's beard would be. And so thank you for not doing that. Thank you that Ted can grow his beard however long he wants until his wife says no more. And so, which is true, right, wives? Yeah. And so number two, they had a fight over whether or not to build a children's playground or to use the land for a cemetery. And so aren't you glad that we're choosing a playground? And so we are getting ready to build a playground next door. There was a fight in a church about whether there should be a clock in the worship center. And of course, the preacher never wants a clock because that way they can preach as long as they want to. And everybody in the audience definitely wants a clock, right? We have one right there on the wall. I look at it all the time. Amen. I do. And so there's another fight on whether the worship leader should leave his shoes on or off. And so we are thankful that, Brandon, you leave your shoes on during worship. But there's a fight about the church because the Lord's Supper had cran grape juice instead of just regular grape juice, and so they had used cran grape juice. There was also an argument on whether the church should allow deviled eggs because the name, deviled eggs, and you know, and so they said, no, only angel food cake. That's it. No more devil food eggs. And so, isn't it, you know, funny? They're funny, but the truth is that we in a church as a body of believers are very different. And we obviously in this church as well. And that's one of the things we love about Hope Community Church and about the overwide, worldwide church is that the diversity of opinion and people and culture that we bring to the table. And God has ordained the church to reflect his glory, to make us to look like him individually, but also that whenever East Houma is looking at Hope Community Church, that they would see something that reflects the glory of God, not of an individual, but rather that the church would look like a called together, ecclesia. Can you say that word, ecclesia? That actually means, in the Greek, it means that it is a calling together of people locally, but also a calling together of the people worldwide. So you can have the local church, which is here at Hope Community, or you might throw in some other church's name here in the community, but there's also the global church, the gathering together of people that come together because God has said it is good for man and woman and churches and people to fellowship together. And so we are to fight for this thing that is called the church. And if you don't know, there is an attack against the church. I'm not just talking about the local church. I am talking about the global church. There is an attack on the people of God that come into a church, right? But whenever you dwell together or worship together, there is a presence that comes from the Lord, that comes and sits on top of a place, and that God wants to move inside of a fellowship of people. Now, I would admit to you today that we are a flawed group of people. Can you admit that? Can you say, I'm not perfect? I can admit to you today that Hope Community Church is not perfect because we're not perfect. And so therefore, it's a whole bunch of imperfect people coming together to worship a perfect God. Jesus says this about the church in Matthew 16 in verse 18. It says, I, and that means Jesus, will build my church and the gates gates of hell shall not, everybody say shall not, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Against what? Against the church of Jesus Christ. And so after the Pentecost in Acts chapter 1, there was a great filling of the people. Jesus says that. He says, I'm going, but there's someone greater than me coming, the Holy Spirit, and you're to wait. And so the disciples are waiting. The Holy Spirit comes down in flames of tongues, and they start speaking in other languages, and the gift of tongues is given. And so all of a sudden, you see the power of God, and the church is born. Now, God loves the church. Jesus says the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, because this is the thing that Jesus died for. The church is whom God gave his only son for. It's for the church. And so we are to fight for the church, not against it. Every say, I'm fighting for the church. I'm going to fight for the church. If you're fighting for your family or you're fighting for your marriage, in Acts chapter 2, the church is born. Look at verse 42. I love these verses. I want to hang my whole life on these verses. This is what I want our church to look like. I think it's a biblical perspective of the church. In Acts chapter 2, in verse 42, it says, and they what? Anybody's reading? And they what? They devoted themselves. Now I'm going to stop for a minute there, because devoted is different than dabbling. Some people will dabble in a church. You know what I'm talking about? They come for 2 weeks, 3 weeks. If it doesn't work for them, they're out of the door. Or maybe they come to get free of an addiction or get free of a certain problem in their life, and as soon as the problem is done with, they are out the door. It doesn't say that in Acts chapter 2, that they dabbled into the church. I like dabbling. In fact, I am devoted to good food. Devoted is different. I love good food. Anybody else love good food? I'm devoted. Like, I want good food right after church today. But I dabble in healthy living. Sometimes I'm healthy, sometimes I'm not. I am devoted to the New Orleans Pelicans. Against my greater good, I love the New Orleans Pelicans. I will watch games where they're not even playing so that somebody can defeat somebody so that the Pelicans can win. It's just, I'm devoted, but I dabble in LSU. I don't really care either way. I am devoted to reading the Bible. I love reading the Bible. I love getting the word. Unfortunately, I dabble in scripture memory. Sometimes I'm all about scripture memory, and sometimes it's like, oh, but I already read the word, God. I already worship. There is a difference between being devoted to something and dabbling in something. And we are to devote ourselves to the church of the living God. It says that in Acts chapter 2. So go back there. It says in Acts chapter 2, and they were devoted to the capital C church. They had both devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and prayer. So you start seeing this biblical idea that they were devoted to the things that God was concerned about. Even though the church was imperfect, and you've probably been in an imperfect church, they were devoted, them and themselves and their family. Look at verse 43. And when they devoted themselves, it says, and awe. Now I love this. If you're underlining or writing, because when you devote yourself to something and you begin to do the disciplines of the faith, coming into fellowship, coming into the house of the Lord, here's what happens is that after a time period of doing that, and I'm not saying one day or 1 week, but after devoting yourself, people start to notice, right? Your life starts to change. You start devoting yourself to the house of God, and you begin to walk a little different. You talk a little different at your work. You think a little bit different in your mind. And so here you are, and God is saying, if you would devote yourself to the things that I am devoting to. In verse 43, and awe, everybody say awe. And awe came on every soul. Imagine if we would devote ourselves to the fellowship in such a way that here on the east side of Houma, that awe would come upon every soul, that they would say, there is something different about that person. There is something different about that place. And it says many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. So there was this great community of people giving and helping and pouring into the church, the local church. That's why next Sunday we need your help. I don't care if this is your first time, come and help us next Sunday so that they can see a local body having all things together and giving away uniforms and school supplies so that they can see the good that's coming out of the local church. In verse 45, it says, "And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any who had need. And day by day, attending the temple together." Underline that. So they were going to the house of the Lord. Every time that the doors opened, every 24-hour prayer, they were attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes together. And they received their food with gladness and generous hearts. In verse 47, it says, "Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord," now this is my favorite part of this passage, "and the Lord added to their number day by day." That means every single day that the Lord began to add to their number those who were being saved. See, if you continue, I'm not talking about dabbling, but if you will be devoted to the house of the Lord, if you will be devoted to fellowship, if you will be devoted to helping others, if you will say, "Hey, this is the local church, and I have committed to bring myself and my family into the local church." And so when you devote yourself, not only does awe come upon everybody that's out there, it says that they begin to add stuff to them. It says day by day, it says every day, they were adding to themselves the number who were being saved. So imagine next week if that you were out there and we're the local body and we're not dabbling, we're devoting ourselves to the church of Jesus Christ, and then all of a sudden God just begins to fill up every seat. That's what I pray for. I pray that God will fill up every seat, because I realize in East Homer, right here in this community, there's a whole lot of people not going into the house of the Lord. There's a whole lot of people that didn't wake up this morning to find themselves in the house of God. And if you're looking at 10 or 20,000 people that live on this side of town, and there's just a couple of churches with a couple of people, that's not the intention of the church. The church was going to be the catalyst to bring salvation to all people. And so you're looking for God to say, "I want God to add to my number every single day. I'm looking for God to do an Acts chapter 2 work here at Hope Community Church as we fight for the church," that God would say, "Hey, I'm going to be adding to your number those who are being saved." I would encourage you to quit looking at what the church isn't and start fighting for what it can be. See, so many times we look at, well, they don't have this, or right now, I mean, we don't have much of anything. I'm being honest, because this virus has wiped off all of our programs and things. And you look at what the church isn't, or I wish they would do this, I wish they weren't. But what if you would say, "I'm going to change my perspective, and I'm going to look at what it can be, that maybe Acts chapter 2 can happen right here in this community of believers." It is time to fight for the church. It is time to say, not just the local, but the huge capital C church. It is time to fight for your church. It's time to looking at, you know, sometimes we quit looking for the perfect church. We're looking for the perfect church. There is no perfect church, because it's full of imperfect people. And start looking, instead of saying, "I'm looking at the perfect church," start letting the church perfect you. Start letting the church sharpen you. Start letting the church help you. You ever notice there will be a people, you know, like sometimes they'll pick on their spouses. Like, for example, my husband Ted, and you'll start looking at him for what he isn't. "Well, I wish he was funny," or "I wish he did this." You ever been around a person like that, and all they do is yap, 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 and complain, complain, and complain, and they keep on bringing down their spouse, right? And so they keep on saying, instead of looking at what he is, and start looking at, he's a man of God. He's a man that will wake up in the morning and read the Word of God. I have a man that works hard. He works maybe a little bit too much hard, but he works all the time from sun up to sundown. And I start looking at what he is rather than fussing for the thing that he is not. And sometimes in the church, you have to look for the thing that it is instead of looking at the things that it's not because no church is perfect, because we are imperfect people. And when I read these scriptures in Acts chapter 2, I look at them and I think, I'm encouraged. I want to fight. I want to fight for an Acts chapter 2 kind of church right here that's happening in the middle of scriptures. I want God to add to our number daily those who are being saved. I want God to call in people from addiction. I want God to call in people from hurt and abuse. I want God to call in people that have a hard heart because they've been hurt by another place. I want God to begin to bring in people. I want Him to add to our number daily. So I am going to devote myself, not dabble in coming to church. I am going to devote myself to the house of the Lord. I'm going to devote myself to the preaching of the word. I'm going to devote myself to the breaking of bread and community and being in fellowship with you and you being in fellowship with me. We're going to devote ourselves to that because God says all will come upon all people and He will begin to add to our number. And I'm praying daily. Everybody say daily. I am praying daily that people will be saved. Now there's a people and a group of people that fought for the church. I'm thankful that there were some people throughout history that fought for the church. Aren't you glad that in 95 AD, get this, when they were writing the Bible, most of those books weren't written to the end of the century because they thought Jesus is coming back. We don't have to write Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, or the letters. Jesus is coming back. Realizing at the end of the century, we better start writing some letters. So they write letters to the church, Paul does. And we begin to write the Gospels like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And in 95, in the end of the century AD, there were disciples fighting for the church. They were fighting in such a way that they died martyr deaths. You know what that means? That every single disciple, excluding John, because he died on the island of Patmos, but every other disciple historically fought a martyr upside down, on a cross, burnt at the stake. Why? Because they were fighting for the church. They were believing that God was going to move through the church, and they were persecuted. But they knew that Jesus said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for my namesake, because great is their reward in heaven." They are being fought. They were fighting for the church. Aren't you glad that in 325 AD, there was great like hysteria and great all kinds of false teachers popping up that said that Jesus wasn't the Son of God. Yet there were a group of people that fought through hell and high water in 325, and they met together and they said, "We are going to establish the church of Jesus Christ. We are going to write a creed." And here's what they wrote. They said, "I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and all and invisible. I believe in the one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son." In 325 AD, born in the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made with the Father. Through Him all things were made for us men and for our salvation. He came down from heaven and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. And He rose again on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have an end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. And I believe in the holy church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. In 325 AD, they were fighting for the church. Aren't you glad that in the 1300s, a man by the name of Thomas Wycliffe, he translated the Bible into English. It was considered a heresy. That means it was a great sin. In fact, he was going to have a huge consequence, but he thought it was important to have the Bible into English. Aren't you glad that he fought for the church, even though he was burnt at the stake? Aren't you glad that in October 31st, 1517, a man by the name of Martin Luther, not Martin Luther King Jr., I'm coming to him, but Martin Luther fought for the church, and he protested things in such a way because there was so much evil and hypocrisy in the church, and they were selling indulgences so that you could give them money and then you could go out and sin, which is not biblical. So he puts a paper on a church and he posts it and says, I'm going to be a protester or a Protestant. Aren't you glad that he fought for the church? I sure am, because we know a better church because this man. Aren't you glad that Martin Luther King Jr. in the 1960s, he fought for the church in the midst of huge racial injustices. And he said this profound statement. We have it on the slide. Here's what Martin Luther King Jr. said. He said, the church must be the guide and the critic of the state and never its tool. If the church does not recapture its prophetic zeal, it will become irrelevant social club without moral or spiritual authority. Martin Luther King Jr. knew that it had to happen first in the church, that racial justice had to happen within the church first, within the body of believers. And when it does, then all comes on all people, and God begins to add to the numbers day by day by day. We started Hope Community, this local church. We were fighting for a healthy, restorative, disciple-making church here on the east side of Houma. We sat around a table at our old building, Brandon and Rachel in the front row, Ted and I, Jamber and Aramie and Danielle, and we sat and we said, God, what do you want the church to look like? We did a Thanksgiving meal right before we opened the service. Everybody in the planet came. We were packed out. We thought for sure we're going to have the best church, that everybody's going to come. We offered free food. People were coming for free food. We didn't know that. We opened the doors, and it was full. It was all our friends, our mom, my dad, Ted's mom and dad. The next week, week two, Hope Community Church, and no one's there. Crickets. We hit the streets. People would come and go. We would have meeting after meeting, service after service. Sometimes we would meet after church just to deal with all the problems that happened within the church service. This is a true story. So we would have a meeting about everything bad that had happened. One time we had a drive-by shooting in the middle of our church service. True story. And so I'm preaching about heaven and being ready, and all of a sudden, bang, 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 and everybody's flipping out because all of a sudden, you know, like there's a drive-by shooting in the middle of a church service. And we were talking about being ready, but I don't know if anybody was that ready. You know what I'm saying? And so we were sitting there and we fought through trials and tribulations. We had a car that ran through the building at midnight, and then the police just left us and we had to deal with that on our own. When the break-ins became more frequent, there were less people instead of more people, and we were crumbling. Ted and I were crumbling in our hearts. I don't know about everybody else, but my heart, I was just faking it until I could make it. I'm just being honest. I was just going to pretend so that I could win. And so here I am, but I'm going to fight for the church, even though in my soul I didn't want to fight for anything. I wanted to give up and say, God, I throw in the towel. But the church, the capital C church, is worth fighting for, and so is the local church. The local church is worth fighting for. I have learned that God was doing something in the small things in the church. In the local church, there's some people right here in this congregation. The first service that we had, they gave their life to Jesus Christ. There's some young people. That first service, we opened the doors and they gave their life, and they're still serving Jesus in this local church. I have learned that God was bringing salvation into this local church, that this community needs the salvation and the filling of the Holy Spirit. I have seen God's restorative power in your lives, in my life, through this church. I have been encouraged by your testimonies and your witnesses. I've been encouraged by cancer that has been healed, addictions that you have been free from. I have been encouraged that God has added to our numbers. I have been encouraged from people, you guys, in this local church. You have encouraged me. Our kids are growing up, and you love them so well inside of this local church. Thank you. Our marriage is worth fighting for because we planted ourselves inside of this church. The kingdom of heaven is advanced this morning because we are in this church. Darkness is fleeing because of the prayer of the saints. Thank you for coming and praying for 24 hours. You have no idea how encouraging it is at 2 in the morning to have someone else praying on beside you, that someone else is taking up the mantle and saying, hey, the move of God is going to happen inside of this church. Thank you. Biblical unity is being accomplished because of the diversity in this church this morning. We have learned to love God and our neighbor well because we are in this church. It is time to fight for the church. The capital C church, the big one in 2020, but also the local church is worth fighting for in 2020. Will you bow your head, please, and close your eyes? Imagine what the church could be. That's our heart. I know we don't do that perfectly, but I can assure you that our heart is for the local church, not just to dabble into it, but to devote yourself, in its imperfections, to devote yourself to the local church, to the fellowship with others, to the breaking of bread, to giving within community. We even believe in giving until it hurts. Sometimes we just say, God, just whatever will stretch us, how can we give better to help more? That all happens in the local church. Worship happens. It's good to put on K-Love. I'm not against that. I'm just saying there is nothing like the local church. In its imperfection, instead of griping about the imperfection, rather let it perfect you, sharpen you. There's some people in this building that have sharpened me, that have encouraged me, and they don't even know it. I'm just sitting there listening to them or watching them bring in their families or seeing their walk with Christ progress and where they were 3 years ago and where they are now. That is an encouragement. The Bible says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony and gathering together. As we gather together into the local church, it's worth fighting for. Though hell comes against it, Jesus says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the house of the Lord. And today when you walk out these doors, I want you to be encouraged. I want you to go out and fight with us, not against us, but that you would fight with us and say, it is time for me to plant myself, to devote my family to the local church. It is time for me to say enough is enough, that I am going to devote myself to the house of the Lord. I am tired of dabbling and I am ready to devotion. I am ready to say, though it is imperfect, God, I will allow it to perfect me. If that is you in the building, would you just stand up on your feet and say, I'm ready just to devote myself to the capital C church, but also to the local church. Is there anybody in the room? You've been dabbling and God says enough is enough. It is time to devote yourself to the church. With every head bowed, every eye closed today, if you're in the room and you know that God is calling you to greater, maybe to minister or to be on one of our teams, a reach team, or maybe to be a part of next Sunday. If that's just the first step for you, that when you walk out these doors, you will stay for the 5-minute meeting, and then you will say, how can I be used next Sunday right here at the local church? Hand out a uniform. Give somebody some food. We have a kids' corner we're going to try to do. Be running one of those games. Whatever it looks like, devote yourself to the church of God. God, you see us. God, you see us standing. We've been dabbling. We have not been devoting ourselves to the church. And we repent. Because the directive of you is to do that more and more as we see the day approaching. And we see the day approaching, God. If we just open our eyes, we see that time is nearer. And so, God, help us. Encourage us. God, don't let us grow weary in well-doing. But instead, God, that we would be devoted to the ecclesia, the gathering together of believers. God, allowing people to perfect us and challenge us, God, and to encourage us. And God, that we would even take that further and we would invite people into our homes, and that we would be a community of people that when they see our devotion to the house of the Lord, that all will come upon them, Lord God. And God, then that we will see many, and I'm praying for every day for salvation to come, God, from the north and the south and the east and the west, God, that we would begin to see a people that are desperate for you, and we would be in their path, in their way, that the church here at Hope Community would be in the way, and God, that we would be able to show them the way, which is you. So God, help us. God, use us. God, we want to be your hands and your feet. God, it's my desire is to be the hands and the feet of Jesus here while we have time. So God, use everything that we do, whether it's 24-hour prayer or our super service Sunday, next Sunday. God, use it for your glory, so that many will come to know Jesus. In your name we pray, and everyone said amen. Would you give them some praise? We love you guys. This is your family. This is the church. And so we encourage you to be a part of it. Join us for 24-hour prayer. Sign up as you walk outside the door. We'll see you next Sunday at what time? 10 o'clock. I'm glad you said it. If you want to be a part of the meeting, all these chairs right here, we'll do a quick meeting as soon as everybody pushes out in about 5 minutes. Let's just do it right now so we can get the next group of people in too. So if you want to be a part, we're going to talk to you real quick. And we love you guys. And we'll see you soon in Jesus' name.